In view of this audio being recorded for at least knowledgeably for the benefit of my seed and those young men and women that have been drawn to things that have been said by me or come out of my pen. But it is my hope that at least you will at least partially receive what I have to say. That which I believe very strongly that I've been taught by the Master himself. All of this is said with a backdrop of some 35 years or so of trying to pass on things that I know that I had heard and learned, and he had given me insight and discernment. But here, this 24th day of October, heavy rain, I'm aware that religious people of all denominations and ilks in the Western world, particularly in the United States, some tens, maybe even hundreds of millions, I don't know. But in any case, religious people do not cotton to having their positions challenged, their religious positions, even if the challenge is clearly stated in the Bible. The bulk of these religious positions are those which espouse the easiest path. Simultaneously, these positions are those which avoid any difficulty, any discipline, admission of guilt, or change of their patterns whatsoever, particularly those things that assail whether or not they are Christians or whether or not they're true believers or not. Thus, I've found that words of truth, and I use that word of truth to mean those things that are clearly stated in the Word of God, especially the clear teachings and the commandments of Christ himself, are summarily rejected. And those things that challenge their Christian position, even in the least, you sometimes don't even need to say much at all. Just brush up against a concept, say death to self, and boy, anger comes up, and you better be made of a man of steel if you're going to challenge it, and you better be anointed, and you better be told by the captain himself to deal with it. So that's where we are. I'm not coming out of a pit of depression or that. It is what it is. It's my belief that we have crossed the line some time ago, perhaps 30, 40, maybe even 50 years ago. One of those teachings which I plan on addressing in this video, in this audio, is one of transformation. It's written in, Paul wrote it in Romans, First Peter wrote it, and it's written by Paul in Ephesians, also addressed in Romans 6. As Leonard Ravenhill said, Romans 6 is the death march of the human, of the self. Transformation, the word trans means change, and formation obviously means form. But in Romans 12:2, it says, Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform means a change of state. That same word is what, as I said in the last audio, it's the same word that's used to describe the change of state of the goo that's in a cocoon into a moth or a butterfly. And by the same token, the spinning of the cocoon, of the worm rather, into a cocoon. It's a change of state. A be ye transformed by renewing. The word renewing means to be renewed qualitatively, not quantitatively, but qualitatively. in other words, the very essence of things. Of your mind is just, it means just that. Your thoughts, which include your emotions, your will, and the whole nine yards of your soul. 1 Peter 1:14 says, do not be conformed, which means con, means the same as. Do not be conformed by the passions of your former ignorance. And that word passions means desire, usually from the diseased conditions of the soul. We've talked about that. That until you're born again, all three parts of you, body, soul, and spirit, are corrupt. They're diseased. Death, entropy. And when you're reborn by the Holy Spirit, your spirit, you've got a new spirit. That's what starts things. Former ignorance, that means the lack of knowledge, and it is that lack of knowledge that leads to wrong conduct. If there's any reason for me doing these audios, it is to grant you knowledge, because I love you as my seed, so that you might not be ignorant, so that you might not be come under all the curses and the death and disease that accompany disobedience and ignorance. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed, same word, in the spirit of your mind. That word spirit of your minds means be renewed in a vitality, the new life of your minds. Put on the new nature. Well, if it says put on the new nature, then that must be that there's an old nature that you put off. And then Romans 6 talks about, Paul's talking about himself, and basically it's a death march. He says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. So I find it to be a law within myself that is a law of sin and death that's fighting against the law of life and peace in Christ. Here we go. One of the most idiotic and damaging fads of modern era is the idea that one can rehabilitate evil behavior. Evil behavior is everything from being disrespectful to being a Jack the Ripper and killing everybody. The psychobabble that we hear, that with enough money, fancy wordsmiths and time, read money, federal grants, one can change a sociopath into a pillar of the community. Now that's just, anyway, that's what's been going on for some 50 years since World War II. Basically, as I said, in the hills of Kentucky, poor folks got poor ways, and that leads them down a bad path. This moronic line of thinking is right up there with Darwin's theory of evolution, the origin of species. This has been debunked by so many eminent scientists that it's no longer even accepted in the scientific journals. And slowly, this thing of rehabilitation of criminals is being debunked. Top socio-scientists, John Paul Wright in particular, are putting forth very strong evidence that criminality, among other things, is rooted in the subconscious, in the middle brain, not in the conscious cerebrum where you can treat it. And so it is with all evil tendencies inherent and embedded in all of us. We simply are prone to act wickedly. Wickedness can be crude and violent or socially polished and docile. Both are equally wicked in God's sight. Now, arrogance and pride and presumption are a bit higher on the scale than smoking, drinking, and cussing. But that's man's scale, and God's scale is not man's, which is largely the very opposite. Now, admittedly, there is a hierarchy of wickedness, but we must keep in mind that God's judgment, as it says in the Word, and appraisal of us is based on the light of our knowledge. This level of light is based on our heritage, our surroundings, our upbringing, and a host of other parameters. To make a point, a young man that I mentored some 25, 30 years ago, he was an illegitimate son of a Houston prostitute. That's how he grew up. I'm not even going to discuss some of the horrible things that happened to him as a boy. By the time he was 13, he had to steal to eat. He stole to have clothes. He stole to get money and whatever to pay the electric bill. And by 13, he'd killed him. He'd knifed a man. He'd killed him. And wound up, they essentially said, you're going to prison or you're going to Vietnam. So he went to Vietnam. Now that young man is going to be judged according to the light of his knowledge. But it's no different than, say, a young man that was born to a wealthy professional in whatever, downtown Houston, that was making $200,000 a year and had the best schools and the best clothes and the best cars and so forth and so on. His light, the judgment in the light of his knowledge, is going to be exactly, in other words, it'd be more expected of him than would be the young man that was the son of a prostitute in Houston. Now, at the end of the day, using those two examples, the playing field is rendered level by light of our knowledge. So any argument about who is worst is nothing more than a religious put down, and it's moot. So as Paul says, don't be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, whatever that degree of ignorance might be. It essentially means a lack of knowledge which leads to wrong conduct. But the word, therefore, and mostly Paul, but sometimes Jesus, commands us to do what we can do to erase, eliminate, and eradicate this form of mindset, which is corrupt. Paul says, be you transformed, the word is the same as metamorphose, qualitatively, changed in our minds, both our conscious and our subconscious. Renew your mind. Create a new vitality within it. Make it go into a separate state. So how do we do this? Clearly and simply by the ingestion of the Word. This was dealt in detail in writing and meat to blood. It's also dealt with in the candle, which is a sequel to the curse of the Gerasenes, Gergeshites, whichever way you want to say it. This ingestion, or this spirit-inoculated word that comes into us as we read and study, as I say, is written down many places, meat to blood and so forth. Even the paper that's titled Transformation. Even the book, even the paper called The Blood. So there's little reason to repeat all these explanations other than to say that all of our minds were corrupt before we were born again. And they will remain that way for the rest of our lives unless we correct this cerebral corruption by the Spirit of the Word. In other words, you can be born again and still have that same corrupt mind that's never been altered. We can be born again, still have a corrupt way of thinking. And yes, that unnecessary continuation of a corrupt mind will reap the same bad fruit as if we were never born again in the first place. Additionally, you will not last very long, for God will not tolerate continued disobedience among those of his kids, no more than a father would in the secular sense. If he said study, he meant just that. He meant study. If he said that his word is equal to his name, then he meant just that. If he said renew your mind, that's what he meant. If he said be transformed, change your thinking and your ways, that's exactly what he meant. But if you refuse, whether out of pretended low IQ, well, I'm just not smart enough, well, that's that's like Moses saying he couldn't talk. And God got kind of mad at him. He said, did I not make the tongue and the mouth? Well, it's the same way with anybody who says they're not smart enough to study. Did not God create the mind? Did he not create the eye to look and read? So whether it's out of pretending low IQ or out of laziness, which is most of the time, These are recognized as acts of disobedience. Then we have a big plate full of consequences that indeed follow disobedience.